Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to the graveyard of missionaries. Can you guess? This is Wretched Radio. Sorry, I have to interrupt myself. Apicelli's pretty good. This is Wretched Radio. Joining us in studio all the way from Italy itself is one Johnny Gravino. Johnny, you and I go back about a decade or more than that. Met here in Atlanta, and you are a part of the Masters Academy International, and you are stationed in Sicily, a part of Italy, which is often known as the graveyard of missionaries, correct?
Correct.
Why?
Because of just the hard spiritual terrain, and so missionaries do not persevere.
Name names. What's so hard about the terrain of Italy, spiritually?
Well, Francis, the Pope, if you want a specific name.
Yeah. By the way, is he still Catholic, Francis? There's some question about whether or not he actually is or not.
There are doubts.
Do people, is that a controversy right now in Italy?
Yes. I mean, he seems to be very popular among the common folks, but definitely those that are more aware of what's going on in the Catholic Church are divided.
Over Francis.
Over Francis.
So is it the people seem to love him, but maybe the old school Roman Catholics, maybe even the pre-Vatican II types, they're maybe not so nuts about his progressive ways.
That's right. That's right.
Do you think, is he a charismatic Catholic, do you think?
Well, definitely in personality and character.
Well, I'm talking about theologically charismatic.
You know, he is so so much of a mystery theologically, so pragmatic that I would not doubt if he would have charismatic tendencies, liberal tendencies. He is regularly on the news, and just everything that seems to come out of his mouth seems to be just very pragmatic and just a desire to attract.
Well, he's very ecumenical too.
That's right.
He's really making an effort. That's been going on for a long time to bring everybody underneath the Mother Church,
and he
has made great outreaches too. The charismatic community, and including the prosperity folks, the New Apostolic Reformation folks. So I was just curious, do you have any indication that he himself may, because there is a big group of charismatic Catholics.
Yes, like I said, it seems to me the perception is he is simply desirous of recognition and being sort of an attractive personality. So people focus on him and tend to follow him. But in terms of him being charismatic,
We just don't know. He plays his cards a little close to the vest. All right. Well, as long as we've brought up the charismatic community in Italy, now the percentage of evangelicals in Italy is a whopping what percent?
Well, historically, the statistics are less than 1%.
All right. And inside of that less than 1% of evangelicals, what gets thrown underneath that umbrella?
We have charismatics. Pentecostals.
So it's everybody.
Everybody.
All right. So with that, the New Apostolic Reformation movement, are you familiar with that?
I am.
Is it having any inroads in Italy?
Yes. Yes. It's, especially in terms of if you would associate, and I'm just speaking generally, I don't have details, nor do I know enough about the New Apostolic Reformation, but for instance, Benny Hinn is a popular figure in some parts of Italy, even in Sicily.
Benny Hinn is?
Yes.
All righty. So they are making, but he's prosperity guy. I'm not sure that I would classify him as a New Apostolic Reformation guy, but nevertheless, the music? Are you seeing like Bethel music and Hillsong music? Is Hillsong, that popular?
Yes, we are seeing Hillsong translated into Italian.
Yeah, so the music is always the way to get into the front door, and then they barge, yes, kick in fact, and make a mess.
My experience has been in one particular church where you have an old, fundamental, conservative congregation, predominantly older believers, Italian believers, that are simply trying to seemingly put up with a new generation that has rock worship and Hillsong worship,
right. Sure.
Which is just a, you know, such a contrast for the church.
But you watch, the music will be the key to their success. It's just popular. It gets in, and then everybody starts to accept it, and then the bad teachings, and the next thing you know, you got yourself a real mess. All right. So, Johnny, you, however, are stationed in Sicily. You're pastoring a church, Messina Bible Church.
That's right.
You're also the Grand Poobah, I believe that is your title, at the Italian Theological Academy, which is a part of the Master's Academy International. It's the ministry that we talk about a lot here on Wretched because it's guys like you we want to be supporting who are in the graveyard of missionaries trying to equip indigenous men to preach the gospel rightly in their local churches. So right now, you have two students at the academy. Is that correct?
Right now, we have three interns.
No, you're supposed to say the real number. 60. You got 60. See, I was underplaying it, so it sounded really great. Because it is. Yes. 60 guys in Italy that are learning how to exposit the Bible. That, Johnny, I don't think most of us can appreciate how big that is.
Yes, we do have 60 students throughout four locations, local churches we train
okay,
at.
Okay, so that's a big deal too. You're in Italy, and so you've got the Italian Theological Academy, HQ, but now you've got other locations throughout Italy where you do training of men who are in pulpits throughout Italy to train them how to rightly divide the word.
That's right.
Okay, has it escaped you how big that is? I mean, that's Rome Central there, and you are making huge inroads in Italy. Do you appreciate that?
Well, I'm so grateful to hear that because it encourages me because often we are working through a lot of mud and mire and being in the field.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And looking at the overall 99%, if you will, predominantly Roman Catholic culture, and just a country that is completely against the Bible and wishes to suffocate the Bible, it looks like a very small grain in the sand.
You know, all right, in that sense, sure. But 10 years ago, were there 60 men getting trained how to rightly divide the word?
No.
Okay, so quit your down-in-the-mouth business, Pally. I just marvel at it. I think, I get your newsletter. And I see the pictures, and I'm just these guys that don't. We think evangelical church, and it's like, well, at least it's kind of mainstream evangelical. Regularly, they're not such great churches, are they?
No, historically, again, and I guess I have to be careful because I don't want to offend
the Italian church. Of course not.
But based on our experience in ministry, myself and other partners, the church is weak.
In Italy. Okay, so a typical evangelical church in Italy, which is really where you're trying to make inroads to get these guys to just change the way they do preaching predominantly. So I know you do other pastoral training, but really it's the pulpit. What would, if I were to walk into an evangelical church somewhere in Italy, what type of sermon would I hear on a Sunday morning?
You would probably hear on a good Sunday, a topical sermon that would be driven by the preacher's opinions and in many ways would reference passages from the Bible.
Okay, so using a Bible verse to basically ride a hobby horse.
Yes, yes, or to pick a particular theme that the church or leadership wishes to address in the congregation. Now, I said a good Sunday.
Okay. And a bad Sunday?
on a bad Sunday, you will hear probably a really uneducated or unprepared man who has probably received the pulpit as like the seventh or eighth guy in the preaching rotation after following after seven other guys. And he'll show up and say, "This morning as I was driving to church,
oh boy,
the Lord struck me through a particular verse that I read earlier. And I meditated on this verse, and I just want to share it with you."
And that's the and sometimes, you know, the guy who preached last week, I don't think so. I think this, and so it just becomes a stew of theological mush, really. Well, all right. Would like to encourage you. You can learn more about Johnny, his ministry, through the Master's Academy International. Encourage you to do that through wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. Johnny, 15 other countries where men just like him are trying to change the local church by equipping indigenous men. It is called the Master's Academy International. I commend it for your consideration and support profoundly. We'll continue with Johnny in Italy on Wretched Radio. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with a boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took her back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, "I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies."
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Wretched is going to prison. Well, Wretched Resources are going to prison, and we need your help. Our gospel booklet resources, Don't Stub Your Toe, What Time is Purple, and Rotten Fish, are going to be given away for free to prison ministries to distribute to inmates. That's where you come in. We can't do this without our gospel partners. See, the more you give, the more we are able to give away. Without your generous support, we wouldn't be able to give away these resources for free to prison ministries. So if you're interested in supporting Wretched, please visit wretched.org/donate and become a gospel partner today. wretched.org/donate. Now, if you're a prison ministry interested in distributing Wretched resource to inmates, please contact jen@wretched.org. That's J-E-N, jen@wretched.org. Let's get the gospel into prison. Visit wretched.org/donate. wretched.org/donate.
My special guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Sir, what is the issue with the Master's Academy International?
The issue with TMAI is very simple. Biblical training. Training men to be the kinds of pastors that are defined and described in the New Testament.
Fascinating, sir, but there are so many ministries who encourage us to do acts of charity internationally.
I mean, it's fine to support philanthropy or some feeding of poor people or caring for children that have needs. But at the end of the day, the impact on a nation has to come from the pastors and leaders. So investing in that is making the maximum investment for the maximum impact.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur. We're all out of time, or I'd love to ask you more questions. If you would like to support the mission of the Master's Academy International, training indigenous pastors to be biblical expositors, changing nations, you can do that at wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 405 AD. After 23 years of work, translating from Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, Jerome completes the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible that becomes a standard for the next 1,000 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Congratulations, you are in Italy. without having to get a passport or an expensive ticket or to go through customs via Johnny Gravino, who is sitting with us in studio here at Wretched Radio. He is from the Masters Academy International. He is running a seminary. It's like a seminariette is what it is,
academy.
Really.
Academy.
It's
well, pastoral academy.
Okay. I didn't know you were so sensitive about it, but but that's really in essence what it is. You went to Master's Seminary in Los Angeles,
that's right. Now
you are pastoring a church in Sicily, but as part of your church, you are also leading the academy, which is equipping men throughout Italy. Right now, you've got 60 students, and I think that's phenomenal. Maybe you, because you're in the toils, you're in the graveyard of missionaries every day. I happen to think that's a monstrous accomplishment. Praise God, 60 guys getting equipped. That has such an impact. They go out to the local church, and instead of getting these topical, silly sermons and really a waste of people's time, they're preaching the Word of God, and that is a big deal. And if we ever want to see Italy recaptured for the gospel, this is the way to do it. It's going to take some decades, but this is the way to do it, training faithful men. That's why, if you want to support Johnny's efforts, you can do so at wretched.org/pastor. It's going to introduce you to the Masters Academy International. I think this is very important work. This is establishing beachheads in very hostile territory, which is what I want to ask you about next, Johnny. Our friends in Eastern Europe will tell us stories about the difficulties that they will have with the Eastern Orthodox Church, that they cause challenges. In fact, sometimes they threaten even physical harm to missionaries or people who are trying to start a Protestant church in Eastern European countries. Do you get that with Roman Catholicism in Italy?
No, not at all, in the sense that we do not face a Roman Catholic Church that is aggressively trying to pursue and persecute God's
work
church
with the government so you can't get a permit to start the church. Do you experience those types of things?
That's exactly it. What we experience is simply bureaucratic.
It gets tied up.
Exactly. Bureaucratic challenges to the point of just slowing whatever initiative or desire we have, not with the Catholic Church, but with the actual government. And so if we were to go to City Hall and ask for a permit, for instance, outreach ministries, whether in hospitals, whether in jails, refugee centers. Italy has, especially Sicily, has a big crisis in terms of refugees from all over Africa. If we were to desire a ministry there, we would just be stalled and stopped with a lot of, you know, proverbial red tape.
Do you think it would be different if you were a Roman Catholic trying to get a permit?
Definitely. Immediate
access. So it's not the government per se, but it's the people who work the government, because 99% of them are Roman Catholic.
That's right. And there's a preference in terms of land, building, if you wish to buy land and so build a sort of a building or facility, that is all just sort of slowed.
Which is fascinating, because you haven't said this, but I suspect, just like everywhere else with Roman Catholicism, and frankly, even with evangelical Christians, a lot of professing followers, but they aren't strict adherents to Roman Catholicism. Is that an accurate survey of Italy?
Italy is a pagan country, as far as pagan gets, with a facade of traditional religion, Roman Catholicism.
So it's worse than I was describing.
That's right. We are simply living times where that facade is slowly tearing. And so while we don't have sort of the advanced depravity and corruption open that you are seeing in the United States, the Catholic cloak is containing that, but that is slowly coming apart.
Yeah. So Italy just has that veneer of Roman Catholicism, and yet the people who profess to follow it are willing to stifle the Protestants in their efforts to bring their thing to Italy.
Most definitely.
Now, I want to stay with Roman Catholicism for a moment, just on a practical level, because I think we might be able to learn some evangelistic tips from you. Because you, when you're evangelizing people, probably only witness to Roman Catholics. Have you learned anything that is helpful in dealing with people who profess to be Catholic?
Well, my goal is to develop a relationship with them and to attract them to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ, of course, whom they profess to know. And so it's clear that the environment can become very conflictual and tense if you're not aware and discerning of certain conversations that don't need to be had. For instance, battling over the Pope, battling over historic crimes and corruption of the Vatican, battling over Catholic saints, supposed saints and charismatic figures, battling over the doctrine of the Virgin Mary, battling over the Catholic
purgatory, whatever it is. So don't go after Catholic theological issues per se. I got that. And I think the same thing applies even when we were talking about the New Apostolic Reformation movement. It doesn't do any good to say, hey, isn't that guy a knucklehead? What do you mean you're following that dope? That doesn't help anything at all. What do you engage the Roman Catholic with?
Well, we engage them most specifically on truth coming from the gospel. And for instance, the difference, we challenge them. If you are a Christian, are you sure of your salvation? Focusing mainly on the fact that a Christian means that he is knowledgeable and secure of his salvation. And that is interesting because I've had one of those recent discussions with a woman that is attending our church that is not a believer. She was always under the impression that she was a Christian. And yet when I asked her, are you saved? She was struck, and very honestly, because at times Catholics will not be honest on that question. But she said, I never really considered that. I always thought that you could just be a Christian and the security of your salvation
born
was
into
not
it, you're baptized,
exactly,
you're in Italy.
Exactly. And so that was an inroad, very impactful in that regard, of course, by God's grace, because most Italians, when you are witnessing to them on the street, will tell you often, what are you doing here? You should be in Africa, you should be in Asia, you should
don't bother with us, we're good to go.
We are the Christian country.
So going after their lack of eternal security, you found to be helpful.
That's right.
One of the things that we love to do here, Law Before Gospel, is do you find it helpful with them opening up the law to just, how do you, because Roman Catholicism is all about being good to get to heaven. Do you find that to be helpful with them?
It can be helpful, clearly, when you're confronting them with specific commands, and especially the Ten Commandments, so to speak. On the other hand, Italians are very dishonest, and I'm speaking as an Italian. And so, especially Catholics will become very defensive when they're confronted with morality. And so they will often lie and have they will have a lot of difficulty in really confessing to the fact that they are sinners. And in a conversation, they'll have tons of contradictions, but to the point of almost denying that they are depraved or that they're sinners.
It's interesting because for the most part in the States, depending on what region you're in, people are willing to say, yeah, fine, I do all of those things, but so what? They don't care because they either reject God, they suppress that knowledge. So they'll admit they're, yeah, we're all sinners, though, no big deal. It sounds like it's a little different there.
No, and of course I'm speaking generally, but overall the Italian has been quote-unquote trained to, obviously, according to Catholic doctrine, which he knows nothing of, but has taken on the attitude of distinguishing sin with, you know, your minor sins and your more criminal sins.
Sure.
And so every time he is confronted with sin, he has an excuse. It's an instinctive reaction to say, well, that's not necessarily a sin.
And that is the soil that you have to till in Italy. Would like to take this opportunity, if you would like to support men like Johnny Gravino and others from the Masters Academy International, your outreach, your outpost is the Italian Theological Academy. But if you go to wretched.org/pastor, there's other countries too, and you can directly support your efforts or any of the other countries should they have a passion for Poland or wherever. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. The soil, it is challenging every. It's not just Italy, but you've been hearing about the rocky soil in Italy. If you'd like to see that nation won for the Lord, it is equipping local indigenous men to rightly divide the word of truth and pastor these people, which is so needed because there's so much unwinding to do. Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International. It is worthy of your support. Wretched.org/pastor. Johnny, very grateful for you. Be encouraged. Stay faithful. Tons of people praying for you.
Thank you.
This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. First and Second Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls his people to repentance through his prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, it could have been worse. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you've seen it on your Instagram feed. It's on the Twitter machines. YouTube is ablaze. Everybody commenting on The Bachelorette. Yes, yeah. It has come to that here on Wretched Radio. We're going to talk about The Bachelorette. As I understand the premise, my understanding is there would be a bachelorette, a woman. So at least we're still operating under these old-fashioned gender constructs. There's a bachelorette, and then a bunch of bachelors try to woo her. That's about as much as I know. And then she picks one of them. Do they get married every time?
No.
I don't know.
Once, maybe?
And I'd like to know how many of us really care. But this is of interest to us because I think we have a very good example of a very misinformed, very liberal, very failing to understand the good news of the gospel professing Christian. And how we respond to this type of person. You know this type of person. She's the bachelorette. And she has been talking about on the different talk shows how she has indeed been intimate prior to marriage. And the things that she's been doing on the bachelorette, my understanding, I don't TiVo it. Can you still do that? Is that the correct technology these days? She has been doing frisky things with the bachelors on the program and throwing it under, hey, I'm forgiven. Don't you judge me. Do you know anybody like that? If you don't, well, you will soon. Luke was one of the bachelors, and they were sitting down together with the bachelorette, who is Hannah, and Luke, who goes to a church in Gainesville, Georgia. I've heard of it. Been there. Nice little town. They've done a nice job with their little town center. There's a restaurant there. They serve a breakfast, and it's actually owned by a Christian guy. How do I know? They play the fish. It is a really nice little downtown area. He goes to a church there. He has professed that prior to getting saved, when he was in college, he was quite promiscuous. But now he has a different understanding of that, and he, sitting down with Hannah, who has professed also that she has been not saving herself for marriage, they had a little conversation about sex. Now, why are we going through this? It is to sharpen us up so that we can respond rightly to the Hannahs that we are most certainly going to meet.
So let's talk about sex.
Okay.
You know, sex is an incredible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing. Well, only, you know, when it's within the guidelines of marriage.
Okay, can I just tell you, it was refreshing. At least, whoever, ABC, NBC, whoever does this shindig, at least they put this on there. the young man, I don't have any bone to pick with him. He's trying to say, hey, marriage is the only confine in which intimacy should be participated in.
Todd.
Yeah, Joey.
It's ABC owned by Disney. They're family friendly.
Right. Now, you almost hurt Tony over there.
I'm sorry. I will go in the repentance corner.
Look, they get into the subject here biblically. One of them a little better than the other.
The whole process, I've been studying Hebrews, and talks about how marriage should be honored by everybody and how the marriage bed should be kept pure. I know you're not a virgin. We've had the talk. You know I'm not. I've been abstaining myself from sex for like 3.5 to 4 years now, and I know that regardless of what I've done in the past, I am saving myself for marriage. And, you know, I am very confident that we're on the same page with, you know, our morals. And I want to hear it from your mouth. You know, like, there's a lot of people that say they believe in some things, but yet, like, they live or do things completely differently.
In other words, they're hypocrites. Now, because this is radio, I would like to do my impression of her face.
This is great radio, Todd.
Oh, you can't see my face either. She is going from sitting down to have a pleasant little chat with a potential bachelor pick or whatever the process is, and she's getting a wee bit agitated.
And thinking about fantasy suites, like, I've heard people proclaim their faith, but yet they've said things like, yeah, I'm excited for fantasy suites. I want to explore this relationship on a sexually intimate level, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Apparently that's a part of the program. They go to the fantasy suites. I didn't know they were still in business.
And to me, that's like, whoa, what? Excuse me? There's something I'm missing here. Like, I don't believe that's something that you should be doing.
Good on him. Good on him. Somebody on TV saying abstinence before marriage.
And I just want to make sure you're not going to be, you know, sexually intimate with, you know, the other relationships here.
Okay, hold on. Let me do her face now.
Can you describe the face?
Still
radio.
Imagine it's a woman who just had something heavy dropped on her foot.
Okay.
Like, I totally have all the trust in the world for you, but at the same time, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Like, if you told me you're having sex or you had sex with one or multiple of these guys, I'd be wanting to go home.
Atta boy.
100%. But if that's something you're not going through, then I'm just going to continue to grow the relationship and move on.
Like, sex is a very big deal to me. And I've said, like, I've had sex with two people in my life, and it was long relationships I thought were going to be my husband. But, like,
can I just toss something in for you, young lady, young man? Until you are husband and wife, it will just be a trail of tears.
The things that you said, like, I don't agree with it at all. And honestly, like, I'm like kind of mad because, like, the way that you just said that, it's like, why do you have the right to do that? Because you're not my husband.
Okay. What would you say to that? How's about, you're right, I'm not your husband, but I am a fellow believer, so I now have an interest on that level alone. Furthermore, this whole shebang that's going on here called The Bachelorette is about the potential of becoming husband and wife, and these are things that I would want to know before pursuing somebody's hand for marriage. I think that's fair.
You're not.
Can I get you off for a second?
No. It's just that you're questioning me, that you're judging me and feel like you have the right to when you don't at this point.
Okay, does he have the right at this point to judge her? First of all, was he judging her? I guess in a sense, sure. But he was asking questions. Are you being pure or are you sinning? That's a question that any Christian should be able to ask the other Christian.
And I get when you, like, care for somebody that you don't want to think about somebody being intimate with another person. But guess what? Sex might be a sin out of marriage. Pride is a sin, too. And I feel like this is, like, a pride thing.
Ah, here it is. Get ready for that objection to your concerns about the state of somebody's salvation. You know, yeah, so I got this, but I think that your judgmental attitude is filled with pride, and that's a sin too. Ha! Now what do we do? What would you say to that? All right, so to help us formulate our response, we have our very own bachelor, Tony. Tony, the bachelor, what would you have said to Hannah the bachelorette?
Yeah, might have been, but wrong is still wrong and right is still right, even if my pride gets in the way.
That's true. That's, you know what? Okay, you know what? You're right. I sure hope I don't have pride. And you know what? I'm happy to talk about that in a few minutes if you'd like to. But right now, I'd like to pursue this. And please forgive me if I'm being prideful in any way, shape, or form, because I am fully aware of my own sinfulness. I am fully aware of the skeletons in my closet. He was willing to profess those. But that shouldn't keep you from being able to lovingly confront somebody about their sin. Now, I have to admit, sadly, I have to admit to you, I lost the betting pool here, Tony. I thought your response was going to be, hey, look, Hannah, I'll be honest with you. I don't know why I'm here. I've been married to Robin for like 40 years. And I am perfectly happy. So is there like a car service that could get me off of this place?
Driver?
Like real fast. get ready. You are going to meet a Hannah in your life. She's going to give a machine gun, just a don't you dare judge me. Yeah, that's right. Judge not. That'll be a part of it. But Hannah, who is, I believe, because of what she is professing to believe versus how she is living, she is besmirching, yes, I said besmirching, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are an increasing number of Hannahs. How would you respond to the Hannah in your life? Because you're going to have to. We'll keep sharpening that up next as we continue talking about The Bachelorette. Never thought I'd say that on Wretched Radio. Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church.
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International, $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, Wretched.org/Bible.
Thanks for being here today. Glad you would spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. Did you know 30% of the incarcerated in this country are millennials? Oh, that's not even the big scary numbers. Those come later with recidivism rates. Like 2/3 of prisoners released, within 3 years, they're rearrested. And within 5 years of release, just over 3/4 are back in jail. And we're thinking the gospel could help with those amazingly high numbers. What we'd like to do is provide prison ministries with our resources like Don't Stub Your Toe, What Time Is Purple, and Are You a Rotten Fish to be delivered to prisoners free. That's where you come in. If you can help these resources get behind bars, visit wretched.org/prison today. Because the more you're able to give, the more we are able to give away. wretched.org/prison. And if you are a prison ministry and want to receive these free resources, contact Jen at wretched.org. That's J-E-N at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsène, just 5 years old. He escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was Bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works, proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Be nice, Joseph. This is Wretched Radio, exploring the theology of the Bachelorette. Listening to an exchange between Luke, a professing Christian who goes to a very big mega church in Gainesville, Georgia. Don't know anything about it. It's a Baptist church. It's big. They've got big screens. I'll bet they've got a thumping sound system. But this young man is trying to explore his potential future wife's past and, more than that, her understanding of the issue of intimacy. This woman has been making the rounds, making it very clear that, well, sure, I have sex outside of marriage, but Gracie, Grace, Grace, it's Grace-alicious. I'm forgiven by grace, so I'm going to go on sinning so that grace might more abound. And he's confronting her on it. Joey, you said you weren't, exactly thrilled with his approach.
Yeah.
Because...
Sorry. I have so many conversations with people where it's just like, you know, I know we're both Christians here. And, you know, the other day I had someone come up to me and they just, I saw a street preacher and they were just so, aren't they awful? I mean, I'm just talking like you agree with me. And
so you, like, you thought maybe he should have just been a little bit more straightforward.
Yeah.
He
was kind of trying to be polite and coy and just kind of assuming or fishing with his comments instead of just being straightforward and saying, this is important to me. If it's not important to you, then let me know and I will bow out.
Joey must have been reading your Grace Gems. If you don't get Grace Gems, encourage you to go to gracegems.org. Sign up. It's free. You'll get a whiz banger like this. I couldn't help but think about this with Hannah, the Bachelorette, who is saying, yeah, so I have sex outside of marriage. It's all about grace. God loves me. Who are you to judge? Charles Spurgeon. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's what's at stake here. So young Luke the Bachelor, trying to woo Hannah the Bachelorette, is trying to see where she's at because she professes to be a believer. Now, your mileage may vary on this, but perhaps this will be instructive from Charles Spurgeon. If a professed convert distinctly and deliberately declares that he knows the Lord's will but does not mean to obey it, then you are not to pamper his presumption, but it is your duty to assure him that he is not saved. Do not suppose the gospel is magnified or God glorified by going to religious worldlings and telling them that they are saved while they are still wedded to their idols and their hearts are still in love with sin. If I do so, I tell them a lie, pervert the gospel, insult Christ, and turn the grace of God into a license for sin. When somebody is professing Christ and yet also willing to profess that they just can go ahead and sin, it's not that big of a deal. Maybe a stronger confrontation is required.
I do want to take a step back to things I have said already, and I want you to know that just reassessing what I've told you, like, Hannah, I don't take it lightly when I tell you that I love you.
Okay, Joey, why is your face presently buried in your hands?
This is one of the integral parts of the little bits of The Bachelor I've seen, is a bunch of people are...
They're all in love with each other.
Yeah, they're all in love with this person that they've known in the worst setup possible for dating.
But that's not the point. This is a theological conversation because Hannah, I think, I just think that she happens to represent an awful lot of the people Charles Spurgeon was talking about.
Let's say I am the last date, and let's say you have had sex. Throwing a crazy scenario at you. Let's say you've had sex with all these other relationships. All of them. I'm willing to do or work through anything. You're right. I don't have the right to ask you that, but to me, I just want to know what's going on.
But you did.
You're right. Because of the trust.
You did. You did ask. And the words that you just used were, you're willing to work through this. I'm a grown woman and can make my own decisions, and I'm not strapped to a man right now.
When you profess to be in the body of Christ, anybody in the body of Christ can confront you if they're concerned about the salvation of your soul or a sinful lifestyle.
See, I don't want to get into the being misconstrued and being misunderstood thing again, because it's happened a lot with me throughout this process.
It's what you said.
You're right. But to me, okay, like, just being real, like...
Yeah, be real.
I can understand a slip-up. But, like, with all of them? I mean, that's kind of where I was going with that. If, like, you were just like, you know what? I want to just have sex with everyone and see what...
Okay, could I just interject? There's... whether she's been intimate with everybody or not, I don't know. But her behavior with all of those men is simply inappropriate for how you... have relationships with a virtual stranger. This young man has his answer. He just doesn't seem to want to accept what's... He doesn't need to hear anything from her. He's seen enough. Young man, when you've seen enough, scoot. Don't keep digging and digging and digging and digging and hoping. Don't be blind. And vice versa, young lady, if you see a man who does not demonstrate fidelity first and foremost to Jesus Christ, you've already got your answer.
Yeah, I would be like, okay, I'm going to talk to you, but you know what? Like, I'm out of here.
So what would that... Honestly, like, what you're saying, the words that you're saying are just, like, really not okay. They're just not okay. And the closest thing that I've ever felt to love at first sight was probably with you. And our relationship from the beginning gave me so much hope. And then it was like all this kept happening. And honestly, like, you have already broken my heart through this, like, truly. And I've broken my own heart because I've allowed everything. And to ignore all the red flags for how I feel, to have this, and to have you say this about me and make me feel like you would look at me any differently and judge me.
Don't judge me, and totally emotive.
Or make me feel like... Mm-hmm. You would not think of me as a woman of faith like I am, and that we weren't on the same page. And it's like you're holding yourself... No. You're holding other people to a standard that you don't even live by. Maybe because you've abstained from sex, but there's a lot of things that you struggle with, and it's like... Because
there it is again. You can't judge me because there's sins in your life, too. Put them on. You know what? You're correct. And we'll talk about those another time, another setting. But first things first. Let's stay on subject here.
I might want to or have had sex. That's like your ex awful. Like, I could have exed you off so many times from being my husband, from things that I want out of a relationship, and that it's just sex for you, and that you're like, if you've had sex, then I'm going home. It's like, Well, I want somebody who can get along with people, who doesn't have pride issues. Like, there's so many things that I don't want out of a husband that you've shown. And so,
and those could all be very fair things to consider. But again, that's deflection.
It's like, oh my gosh, like, that's a big, like, you.
Lovely.
That's what that is. It would just piss me off.
And on it goes. All right. Perhaps you've been in that conversation. If not, you will be if you dare to ever bring somebody's sin up to them when something's off. Something's clearly off. A response to sin shouldn't be kind of a ha-ha kind of matter, which actually to her, it just does seem to be a lighter thing.
He said that he loves me, and then it's like, no, you don't, if it's so contingent on if I fit into what is morally acceptable for your wife to be. And it's like, you do. You don't own me. You don't get to decide what I can and can't do. I was like, oh my God.
What else do we learn from this? When somebody is a believer in Jesus Christ and they are confronted with their sin, that is the worst possible response. To deflect, hey, what about you? To point a finger back, a true believer will be aghast. No, I don't. I hate sin. Tell me more so that I can avoid sin. Prepare to meet more Hannahs in your life. When you engage in this type of conversation, the typical argument strategies, deflect, point a finger back, change the subject, lovingly persist on staying on the sin that you are concerned about, letting them know that you are a sinner too, willing to be confronted with your own sin, but now you want to talk about theirs. And if they don't respond hating their sin, then you've got much bigger problems. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.